I'm going to get started here. Thanks for coming to this seminar. I know there's a few evangelism seminars this time, which is good. I encourage you all here. I'm going to ask someone help me by passing these out. Let me share with you all my story a little bit. I'm really glad to see you here. Evangelism, or sharing God's story. I think evangelism is really about being a storyteller. So evangelism gets that word is a little bit of a bad rap, but a storyteller, you know, that's a nice thing to be. People like being storytellers. So this is, why is this a passionate thing for me? Why am I here sharing this? A little bit has to do with my story. My name is Todd Watkins, and I grew up in a home that didn't hold to the Christian faith. So I just really didn't have much guidance growing up in terms of a faith or belief. I didn't know anything really about the God of the Bible. And so I went through life at an early age just kind of, you know, trying to figure out meaning, purpose, and was really struggling with why am I here? What's the reason for my life? And that pushed me into a lot of different types of things. It got me into experimenting with all kinds of different drugs. It pushed me into different New Age religions and beliefs, experimenting with Eastern mysticism and such of that. And I kept seeking. And I was dealing with a lot of just personal, maybe some confusions in my life and struggles. And through that, God was working his plan out in my life. And I was on campus at CSU, Colorado State University, and I was about 20 years old. And I was wrestling with all these questions, trying these different things. I was really trying really hard to reach a peaceful state in my life. People call it nirvana. You know, there's other different words or ways we talk about it, but it's a real strong desire for finding peace. And then I really was struggling finding that and getting to that place. And so I was on campus, and there was a guy preaching, and I went to listen to this guy, and I listened to him a little bit, and then there was a guy, I walked right up next to this guy, next to me, it was with God's hand, and who was a believer, who was on campus doing an outreach. And he turned to me and struck up a conversation with me. And he asked me about what I thought about Jesus. And I didn't know too much. I thought he was a good guy. And he asked me if I would follow him, if he was here. I said, well, I mean, I probably listened to him. I mean, maybe, I don't know about following. But and they said, well, do you think he's coming back? I didn't know what that meant. That was a whole new statement to me. So I said, I don't know. And he said, well, would you like to hear about the reason for Jesus' life and death and the purpose for humanity and for you? I said, sure, I'd like to. So he and I sat down, and he went through one of these little gospel tracks. Just real clearly walked through the gospel with me. And it was the first time I heard that. And I just really sense from this, the way this person presented it, he was very genuine. He really cared for me. He believed this sincerely, and he was offering me a really good message that I had not heard before. It was not a message of me working really hard to get peace, but a message of a God who came to give us peace through Jesus Christ. So I gave my life to Christ that day, and didn't really know what I was doing exactly. This Jesus guy now. And I got involved in, it took me time to get involved in church. I still had lots of questions, all this kind of stuff, but God was working his will out in my life, and he was starting to change me. I began to experience change. That peace that I was looking for, I began to experience it. And it wasn't because I was trying harder. It was because there was this presence of God in my life. And someone gave me the Bible, and I started to read it, and I started experiencing God, and I started to pray. I remember I read the Lord's Prayer in the Bible, and so I said, oh, this is the way Jesus taught us to pray. So I memorized that, and I would pray that every night. No one taught me to do that. I just found that in the Bible and said, oh, I should pray this. Jesus said to pray it. So I started to pray that, and God started to do things in my life, started to change me. And I was just, you know, the more I grew, and I got to end up getting involved in a local church, the more my heart became burdened for the people who never heard or knew about this message of Christ. And I just couldn't, how did I go 20 years of my life and never hear this message? I mean, how is that possible? And not only did I not hear it, I didn't know anyone, as far as my knowledge, who were believers where I grew up. I didn't know any. No one ever told me about Jesus. I didn't know anyone in school. I mean, maybe there were believers, but no one ever talked about it. None of my family, as far as I knew, were believers. I mean, it was just, how did this happen? And so God just put a real heavy burden on my heart and a real love for those who didn't know Christ. And I just, I wanted people to know this good news that I discovered. I wanted people to know this relationship that God created them for, which was a relationship with Him. And so that motivated my life, and that led me to go into ministry. Went to ministry at CSU to work with college students, and I did that for a few years. And then that motivated me to go overseas. My wife and I, and a number of others, moved to Amsterdam, the Netherlands, and we helped plant a church there, a city who is less than 2% evangelical, and. Again, I never thought I would be a missionary overseas. I mean, that was never in my plan, or God never put that burden on my heart. Some people He does. But the thing that broke my heart was going there and talking to so many young people that they had never known, heard about the gospel. I mean, they grew up in families like my own. And I just saw such a great need, and God just moved me in light of that need. And so we went over there and planted that church, and there were about 7 years. By God's grace, that church is still going on, which is really neat to see. And we moved back and went to Asheville, North Carolina to do a church plant there. The church plant there didn't work out the way we were thinking, never took root. And so we were left with, well, what are we doing? What's going on in our lives? And kind of that sense that Tom talked about today, just this wrestling with God. You know, what's going on? This trial, this difficulty. What's God trying to do in our lives? Through that whole thing, God worked his plan out and led us to Austin, Texas, which I'm there now, and we're helping with a church there called Live Oak Bible Church. You may or may not heard of it. It's been a great mission church for a long time. I think Herschel Martindale started in 1978, so it's neat, it's still going, and we're believing God for new, fresh things there. And part of that is reaching out to new people, and how can we engage people with the gospel? And that's probably why you're here, to learn about some of that. How can we engage people with the gospel? And this seminar is based on what I call three-story evangelism. And it's nothing. There's nothing new under the sun. So it's the idea of that everyone has a story. And so how can we learn and discover people's story, what they believe? And then you have a story. God, a story God's woven into your life. And so how can we relevantly share our stories with people to make an impact for Christ? And then God has a story that He's working and woven into the world. And so how can we share that story? So it's three-story evangelism. And let's see. Let's look at a scripture, if you guys have, in Matthew 9:35. I think evangelism, this is a motivational scripture passage for me. It shows me the heart of Jesus. It says in Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I'm motivated and moved by that passage because it shows Jesus' heart of compassion for the lost. And I think he was seeing that, and he was conveying that to his disciples, trying to help them to see it. The harvest is plentiful, laborers are few. Kind of see, he wants them to see with his eyes. And in evangelism, I think this is where it starts, is seeing with the Lord's eyes the lost, and having compassion, having a broken heart because they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. People are lost. They're lost. They don't know it. When I was lost, I didn't know it. I was lost. I was dead in my transgressions and sins. I did not have a connection with God. I could not get that on my own as much as I tried. And so people are in that place, and it's a painful place. People don't even know it's painful. I mean, they wrestle with pain. They struggle. They're in pain, but they don't understand their state of their soul, the condition of their soul, because they're just in it. I didn't understand that until someone explained the gospel to me. So we look at people with compassionate eyes, and that's our starting point. And then we also realize that Jesus had a mission. And one of his missions, or part of his mission, the main part, he talked about in Luke 19:10, where he said, "The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." So he really sought out these people who were far from God. That was right after he had an interaction with Zacchaeus, tax collector. And so Jesus was really on a mission, going from village to village. He was on the move, going to people who were far from God, and he was proclaiming a message of the kingdom of God, the good news. Motivated by compassion, seeking out the lost to share the gospel with them. So in the same way, this is in that same spirit. That if our hearts aren't broken first, then evangelism is not going to be very effective. And secondly, we need to recognize that evangelism is about crossing boundaries. It's about going to people on their turf, in their world, versus always asking them just to come to us. And Jesus did that. He really went to people. Because he loved them. He cared for them. So part of that going to somebody is learning their story. Is going into their world. Understanding who they are, what they believe, why they believe it. Because most people believe things sincerely. They care about what they believe. So we start on that level. There's this great quote by this guy, Jeff Vandersell, that says, "Every person you encounter, every community you enter into, and every culture you engage has a dominant story with many sub-stories." He says a dominant story is the most prominent, compelling, and controlling informant of how people perceive God, others, and the world. Some call this a worldview, because it is the lens through which we view the world. One's worldview shapes how they receive and process information, engage in relationships, make decisions, and shape their philosophy and beliefs. And it says you can discover a person's dominant story by asking questions. And so really that's the premise of the first part of this, is asking questions. And so in discovering someone's story, the story, maybe the big story, what they believe, you've got to ask good questions. And that sheet I gave you guys, on one side of it, it says, good questions on that. And there's a number of different questions. And so when you ask questions, you want to ask questions because you're seeking to genuinely understand this person. God loves the person. And that person has a real story of what's going on in their life. And we can genuinely love a person by just listening to them. Some people don't have anyone who listens to them. A lot of people are very lonely, and people don't know how to ask very good questions. I worked at a job a couple years ago, and I was astonished. I was working part-time at this gardening store, And I was astonished at how little people asked me questions about my life. I just could not believe. I worked with guys day in and day out, and they knew nothing about me. And they just never asked. Think about it. I'm always asking questions. I'm just curious and want to know, understand, find the treasures within people. But oftentimes we live in a world where people don't, people are self-consumed. And a way to reflect Christ is to really be consumed with another person and care for them. And when we ask those questions, we get to discover things. We discover, okay, what's people's religious background? What are their hurts and pains? What kinds of things keep them from believing in God? What hindrances do they have to the gospel? What are their needs, their felt needs? Where does the gospel intersect with their life or their story? How can I share the gospel relevantly based on what I understand about them or what they believe or what their needs are? I was talking with a Chinese student a couple of weeks ago, and he was sharing, he's not a believer, but he was sharing with me how it's very stressful. He's a PhD student, and he has lots of pressure on his life from his family to do good because he's over here to study, from the school. He's trying to learn the language. He's in a new culture, and there's just so many pressures in his life. And so we were talking about it. I was kind of trying to understand why are these hard for him and what he's dealing with. And then he asked me, he said, so tell me, why do you believe what you believe as a Christian? And how does it change your life? How does it impact your life? Oh, that's a good question. I don't think people ask that too often. And so I thought about, well, you know, this guy's dealing with circumstances that are very hard and pressures, anxieties, and stresses. I thought, well, okay, how does God come into my world and my anxieties and my pressures and my stresses and my struggles? And what is the good news of the gospel for someone in that situation? And so I got to share with him the gospel and also how God meets me in my trials and my difficulties and how I walk through those things. So, you know, the idea is simply knowing where people are at. And God meets us. God comes to us where we're at. And so the gospel is meant to intersect our lives where we're at. And when we're sharing the gospel with people, we want to meet them where they're at in that sense. So we ask good questions and we listen. Proverbs 18:13 says, if one gives an answer before he listens, it's his folly and his shame. And James 1:9 says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So there's a lot of wisdom in listening to people and spending the time to do that. So that list of questions is, I think they're great questions. There's a book called God Space by Doug Pollack. It's a great book. Is anyone familiar with that book? It's a good book about really centered around this idea of going to people, meeting people where they're at, and asking good questions. And he has a whole list of questions. He has, like, great questions. So if you're a person that's like, man, I never know how to engage in spiritual conversation, well, questions like this can, and he has a book full of them. So those would be a great place to go to. The second part of this idea of three-story evangelism is sharing our stories. So we have their story, which we listen to, and we share our story with folks. And this is a powerful way to share the gospel with somebody because it's a real story. It's real life. And people, I think Mark talked about that yesterday, Mark Darling, about people are looking for this Christian thing to be real and to be people to be passionate about. And what's amazing is that each one of us carry a real God story in our lives. We carry a real encounter with the living God. And we have a testimony. And, you know, people can argue with lots of things, but but it's hard for someone to argue with your story. You know, I mean, it's a great way to just share like how God is real. How God is real. How's God real to you? How do you experience God? I think oftentimes we see, even in the scripture, that Jesus, it was one of his methods where how he got the gospel to move forward was through other people sharing the story of Christ. And in Mark chapter 5, I don't know if you guys know that the story of the demon-possessed guy, where there was this demon-possessed man, and he was possessed by a legion of demons. And Jesus had come to across the sea at that time to this place, and this guy was in bad shape. He was chained up. He was in a graveyard. That's what I was trying to say. He's in a graveyard, and he was possessed. And so Jesus comes to this guy. He does this amazing thing where delivers this guy from the demons. The guy's in his right mind, and people are astonished, they're confused, they're almost scared that this guy's life had changed so much, what's going on. Jesus is leaving, and the guy wants to go with Jesus. And so we would kind of, maybe I would think like, yeah, that's a good thing. Like this guy, he wants to go and be with Jesus, but Jesus doesn't let him. It's an interesting thing. Instead, he says, no, go back to your home, he actually says. So he goes, go to your home and your family. And he says, tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done, and all the people were amazed. Again, it's this instance where, Jesus has touched this person's life, and instead of pulling this guy away from his community, Jesus sends him back into his community and says, tell him what I've done. Tell him my story. And our stories are very powerful. Now, it's easy. I mean, I became a believer when I was 20, so it's been a number of years. I think the older I've gotten, the freshness of that story, I can lose it sometimes. I lose the sharpness of it. And I forget how radical it was for me at that time. What helps me is to take time to reflect back. And to remember what God has done in my life and how he has changed me. And so I can be, my heart can be afresh in that to share with others. But I think our story also is greater than just what happened to some of you 20 years ago, 30 years, or 40 years ago. God is working in your life all throughout the last 10 years, 20 years, last year. I mean, there's a story of God working in your life last year and the year before that. And so our story, our testimony story, can be very broad, and it can range and be different. And I think the important thing is showing a living God that is working and moving and changing in your life. But if you're thinking about writing a testimony, you guys will see on the other side of that sheet is just a real simple way to think about writing out your story. And this is something that's, I think it's easy. I've helped people do this to figure out, hey, how can I share my story? And there's three parts to it. It's your life before Christ, how you met Christ, and your life after Christ, or since you met Christ. And, we can think about it a couple different ways. Some of you have been Christians for a long time, since you were young, grew up in a Christian home. So this exact format may not fits you exactly. It fits me better. But when we think about this format, and I'll address the other side of it in a second. When we think about this format, we think about your life before Christ. You think about what kinds of things were important to you. What were you trying to find fulfillment in? Where were you trying to find your identity in? What was lacking in your life? Like I told you guys, I was looking for peace. I was looking for meaning. I was kind of searching. And then how you met Christ. Just a simple story. Like I told you, how I heard the message of the gospel. Who told it to me? What it was. When you share how you met Christ, it's a good opportunity to share really the basics of the gospel with somebody. You can share the gospel right there as you're sharing how you encounter God and encounter Christ. And then your life after Christ is just simply, how did Jesus satisfy those desires? Or how has your identity changed? How has he fulfilled you? What things have changed as a result of Christ in your life? And how is he continuing to help you now and since that time? You know, how is he continuing to work in your life? So it's those real three simple things. If you have been a believer for a long time, there's a couple ways to go about it. I mean, you're a believer when you grew up, or if you're, my daughter accepted Christ when she was six. And so her story is going to be different than my story. So what do you do there? You know, I've talked to people that kind of, they don't know, I don't really have a story. And there's a couple ways to go about it. There's one is to think about your parents' story. And how did your parents, what did God do in your parents' life that has transformed your life? That's thinking a little bit bigger picture. So my daughter will have a testimony that includes my life. What God did in my life, how God saved me, hopefully by God's grace, it will have transformed her life and the future of her life. And I think that's a relevant way to share your story. What God did in my family's life has given me a different life to live by. The other way is to think about, we all, even though we grew up in a Christian home, if you've grown up in a Christian home, you've still had to come to your own understanding of God. You've still had to wrestle with God. You've still had to come to a point of understanding God's grace in your life, and maybe to different degrees. And you can share that. It may have been you grew up in a Christian home, and there was a certain period of time where you didn't quite get it all, but then you realized you grasped the grace of God more than maybe you got caught up in thinking it was about legalism or law, but then at some point you caught the grace of God. And there's a lot of people that grow up in some form of Christianity. It depends on different places where you live. When I lived in North Carolina, there were lots of people in the Bible Belt that had some form of Christian experience. But many of them didn't want anything to do with it. And so people who had a testimony with some type of Christian experience and that had got the grace of God or the love of God or the freedom that was in Christ, they had a different message than I did from someone that I just didn't have that background. So they could speak into that background better than I could. So God's giving you a different testimony and story, and it's just different. There's not one that's better than another. So what I want you guys to do right now is to take a couple minutes, and on your little sheet there, jot down some thoughts on each one of those three points. And as you're doing this, just keep in mind a couple things. Keep in mind that as you're thinking about your thoughts, and I'm gonna have you guys share your thoughts with each other here too. Keep in mind to keep, the term Christianese, you guys heard that word? The Christian language. Try to not have a lot of Christian language in it. Think about, as you're thinking about your story, think about you're writing it and telling it to someone that was from the mountains of Nepal, and maybe never heard about this, this Jesus stuff. Just a little bit of a challenge as you're writing this down. Try to keep it short, because we're going to try to share it in 3 minutes. So I found that there's different opportunities to share the gospel with people. Sometimes I have a minute with somebody. Sometimes I have a few minutes. Sometimes I have a long time. But I want to be able to share my story in 3 minutes if I have the opportunity. Because I might have an opportunity just to real quickly share a little nugget of my story and sow some seeds there. So when we write these, we're thinking more shorter, a way to share it in about 3 minutes. And just keep it real and honest, what God's done in your life. So, okay, let's take a few minutes. Yeah?
Everyone can have sheets, so do you want to say the three?
Not everyone has sheets. Okay. Yeah, if you don't have sheets, the three things were your life before Christ, how you met Christ, and your life since Christ, how Christ changed your life. And if you don't fall in those three things, then use some of the other ideas that I shared. Take about, we'll take 5 minutes and you can do that. A little bit of paper, so it's hard to fit our stories on a little bit of paper. But the idea is to, to catch some of the highlights. And what I want to do is have you guys pair up and share that story with somebody. And I'm going to give you 3 minutes to do your best to share your story. And if you're sitting with someone that you've known forever, pick someone that you haven't known. So it's new. And remember, think about this person being from another, like Nepal, let's say, just say random, from the mountains of Nepal. They haven't heard about this Jesus thing before, but you're telling your story in that context. Okay? All right. Okay, find your person, and then I'll tell you what I have to say.
Hi.
Helpful to do? Kind of write it out, think about it?
You know that the passage in 1 Peter, it says, in your heart set about Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. Yeah. And in a sense, doing this, practicing that, it's that preparation. It's that being prepared. Am I prepared to share my story in a moment's notice? You know, if I'm just engaging with somebody in Walmart, a line of Walmart. Am I ready in that 5 minutes I have? I'm sitting there to share my story, to just share, you know, some nuggets of my life. So I would encourage you to keep practicing it, to, you know, work on it some more, try practicing with someone else, or, you know, I don't know if you're in a small group or if you're in a, you know, a home group, whatever you call it. Challenge your whole group to do it together. Like, hey, take one night and say, hey, let's all do this little exercise. Let's write our stories. And let's all try to share it. And then that sense of just be prepared, practicing. I was talking with someone that, or actually when I was in Amsterdam last time, and we were talking to some of the leaders there, and they weren't sharing their faith so much. And so I asked, well, why not? And it came down to they didn't feel prepared. They didn't feel like they knew, they weren't ready to do it. They didn't feel confident in it. And so what gives us confidence is just practice, just doing it. So, okay, so that's sharing your story in, you know, a nutshell. There's a lot more to it. We could spend a lot more time on this. This seminar really could be broken into three different seminars, so putting a lot into a little bit of time. The last part I wanted to share with you guys is God's story. Which the gospel, the Bible talks a lot about. And in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 14, it says, Jesus went through Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come. He said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So Jesus went about just proclaiming this gospel message. And really, the Gospels are the big story, and the whole Bible is the bigger story. So, you know, this is a very big story that's been going on for a long time. How do we share this with someone well and grab the essence of it? It can be challenging, and I don't know. You know, for me, the Gospel it seems to be this flower that continues to blossom and unfold, and I just learn more about God and understand more about what He's done, and so. It's just it's a great treasure that just keeps giving. But at the same time, there is a core message that we can share with people. And just like when I was sitting there with that guy on campus, you know, he pulled out this little bridge diagram thing, and he track, and he just walked through this little simple message with me. And it made sense, and I believed, and I got saved. I mean, something happened. My life was changed in that moment. And the beauty of it is that little thing, that gospel that he shared, it's there's so much more to it, so full, and yet that simple truth he shared were life-changing for me and for all who believe. So I want to show you guys a simple way to share the gospel. And I really like this because I've gone through a class where some of you may have done it. It's the diagram class. I think it took me about a semester to go through it. It was really good. It really helped me understand the gospel. But it took me a long time to go through it, and it took me a long time to share it with somebody. And so I don't always have 45 minutes to go through that presentation. I was just really hungry for a way that I could teach a new believer
a way to share the gospel quickly. You know, in a sense that they could get something, I could teach them, and the next day they could share something. And so this is something I've found that's been helpful for me. There are many different tools, many different things that may be helpful for you. This is what I found to be helpful for you. So I'm going to draw it up here, and I'm going to have you guys read a couple of verses. This is based on what some call like the Romans Road. It's four verses in Romans. I'm going to draw it, and I'll kind of work through it with you. And you know what I would suggest is that you draw two, if you have a piece of paper. What I like to do, I keep something like this, just a little card in my pocket or my wallet, and I can draw this on this card for somebody. It's like a presentation on my card. And I found it very helpful to help people understand the gospel in a simple way. It may be too simplistic for you, but please bear with me. Okay. So I just draw this on your paper. And we'll put under here Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, and Romans 10:9. And I'd like to ask someone to just, you may know these verses by heart. Most of you probably do. Hopefully you do. I would really encourage you to memorize these verses if you haven't. But what's Romans 3:23? If you can look it up or someone knows it by heart.
All sin
falls short of the glory of God. How would you say that just in your own words? If you paraphrased it.
Nobody's perfect.
Everyone's screwed up and they're gonna die.
What's messed up?
I'm a great sinner.
A great sinner. Okay, so oftentimes when I share this, I may share more paraphrase. When I share with you guys, I'll paraphrase it a little bit. Okay, and then Romans 6:23. Does anyone know that? I give the guys eternal life, Christ Jesus our Lord. How about someone try paraphrasing that in your own words?
We deserve to be paid for our sins. Like a job, we get paid wages and stuff like that.
It's payment versus consequence for sin. Yeah. Yeah. Consequence for a wrong. The other.
Death can be described as separation.
Separation. Yeah. Separation from God is spiritual separation. Consequences of our sin is a spiritual separation from God. It's a spiritual death that happens there. But Romans 5:8. Anyone know that one?
God demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us.
Yeah. God demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And then how about Romans 10:9? Anyone know that? God raised him from the dead. Yeah. And so, yeah. So, what would you say, paraphrasing that one, your own words? How would you say that to somebody?
You bet. God be in your life.
Yeah. You with your mouth to ask God to come into your life. There's a confession. There's an expression. There's a talking to in that verse. It's part of that verse. Okay, so I would write this out on a little card and say, oftentimes I use a bridge. There's different kinds of bridges to the gospel, to share the gospel. One bridge, I mean, it could be several different bridges. It could be, you know what, you've been a Christian for a long time, there's someone you've never shared Christ with, and you could just be honest and say that. You say, you know, I've known you for so long, I've never told you something that's very important to me. It's this message about Jesus. Can I share that with you? That's an easy bridge to do that. I did that with my boss at this job. I was working at this guard job.
I said that to him. I said, I was praying for him, and I felt God convicted me that I had not shared the gospel with him. And I said, hey, man, I've got to tell you something. I was praying, and I just felt like I have not been fully honest with you what I believe. Can I share that with you? Well, first I said, I want to confess something to you. And I think he thought I was like, had been stealing or something. He was like, what? I said, I want to tell you that I have been honest with you what I mean. He said, oh, well, what's that? So then I showed the gospel to him, showed all stuff, and it was really good. I mean, it opened great conversations for us further down the road. He didn't get saved right then. So in other words, maybe you just become a believer and you're excited, and that's another way to make a bridge. Hey, I just discovered this relationship with God through Jesus, can I just tell you about it? So, you know, there's a bridge there. So let me tell you the story about Jesus, about God's plan for this world. And it starts off with God. This is my picture for God. I don't know, maybe you have a better picture. God created everything. God created the world and created people in the world. And he created people to be in a relationship with God. So I use a lot of relational words. He created us to be near to God, to be in relationship with him, to experience him, and to reflect his image in the world, his glory. But the world we live in is not like this. We in our world today, we don't live in this close relationship with God. The Bible talks about that there's been a separation between us and God. And it says that, you know, all people, we all are basically selfish. We've all chosen our own way. The Bible calls that sin. We've all chosen our own way, and we've fallen short of this connection with God. We don't reflect him anymore. We aren't connected to him. It actually says here that this selfishness, this sin, has caused a spiritual death. And then right here, death. It's caused a spiritual death. We don't have the life of God that we were created for. And I think most people want that life. We look for that life. So we try to get to this life, whatever some people say is peace, and we try different meditation or something that's religious works to try to get to God, try to be really good till we get to God. Sometimes it's through our own just being a good person. But ultimately, none of our efforts can ever get us over here back to God. Because the Bible says, well, we're all separated. We can't get there on our own. But the cool thing is, that this God who made us to be in relationship with us, he loves us. And he doesn't want us to be separated over here. Actually, that's the reason why Jesus came into the world. The Bible says that God showed his love for us. Showed us so much he loved for us that he sent his son to demonstrate his love for us. That he died the death we deserve on the cross. While we were still far from God, and while we were dead in our sin, Christ died in our place. And the Bible says that if we believe this, and not only did he just die, but, you know, he rose too. He came back to life. So that all who believe in him wouldn't have to have the consequences of death, but we could also live a new life. And if we believe this, and we tell God, we express it to God, God brings us near to him again. And he restores the relationship we are created to have. And we're brought near to God, so that we can live with God in life and experience the life of God and live a changed, transformed life. And I ask, well, does that make sense to you? Do you have any questions about that? And we'll talk over those questions
And then I would ask, what keeps you from believing in this Jesus? What keeps you from believing in Jesus? Is there anything that keeps you? And some people may have different thoughts on that. And then the big question comes is asking them, well, would you like to put your trust in Jesus and your faith in Jesus and what he did for you? I feel like there's a couple barriers in spiritual sharing the gospel. I think there's a barrier to talk about spiritual things with people. Sometimes it's a spiritual battle there. How can I move from non-spiritual to spiritual? But once you get into the spiritual and you start to share the gospel, there's another battle, and the other battle comes where you ask them the question, would you like to put your trust in Jesus? Because now you're asking them a very direct question, a very personal question. And sometimes it's easy to avoid that question. But if I don't ask them, I don't give them an opportunity. And they can say no. Yes, that's their choice. But what I want to do is to give them an opportunity to hear and to receive Christ. If they're not ready, that's fine. If someone's not ready, but they're still open, then I ask them if they would be interested in getting together and reading a story about Jesus from the Bible sometime. The seminar I'm doing next, tomorrow, is called Seven Stories of Hope. But seven stories about Jesus for people who are curious to learn about Jesus, but they aren't ready to accept Christ into their life yet. So it's a simple Bible study for a seeker. And so just to keep following up, if they're not, and they say, no, I don't want to do that, I'm interested, then okay. That's fine. We'll still be friends, still love them, care for them. Maybe God will open their heart at another time. But I've done my job, if you like, to at least share the gospel with them. Does that seem clear to you guys? I feel it's pretty simple. I've just recently, a new believer at our church, I walked through this with him. And we went out on campus, and I shared it, and then he got to share it with somebody. So just in 2 days, he was able to learn a lot of this, and he was able to go out and share it. And I felt like I was encouraged that he was memorizing the scriptures, going out and sharing. Even though there may be more that we can include in this, I think it's a good, simple way to share the gospel. So what I'm going to ask you to do, let's see what time we got. We got a little bit of time. Okay, your partners. One of you guys, you have to flip a coin and try to share this with the person. Okay, I'll keep it up here so you can see it. But on a piece of paper, if you have a blank piece of paper, go through it with that person, with the other person, and just walk the other person through it. Just practice it. Again, this sense of confidence comes through practicing, through trying, through doing. So let's take a few minutes and partner up, and one of you all can do that with the other person. Most people are done. I'm going to wrap it up here. Some of our time is almost up. Okay, so you can all get to practice, but I would encourage you to practice with someone if you didn't get a chance to practice. Again, pull someone from a small group or something and go through this with them and practice it. And then I give you an assignment. So your assignment is to, did someone sigh? Your assignment is to say, I went to this seminar over Christmas break, and I learned this simple way to share this message of Jesus. Can I share that with you? And share this with somebody. And so that's your assignment, and that's something to believe God for in the next couple weeks. I would do it sooner than later. Don't prolong it. So, I'll send you out with that, and I'll pray for you. I also want to encourage you that I would not say I have the gift of evangelism. I have a heart and a passion for evangelism, and so I think anybody can share the gospel is called to share it, apart from special gifting to do that. So I'm going to pray for you guys, and we'll send you out. Lord, we thank you for this time, and thank you so much for the gospel, for the good news. Lord, we thank you for how you have changed our lives through this story, through this message. God, it's truly good news. You say the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. And there's power in your gospel and the proclamation of it. It is powerful, God. It changes. It purchases people from death to life when they believe. It is amazing. And so I want to pray for the body here, the saints. I want to pray, God, that you give them courage and to share their stories, to listen to people's stories, and to share this message of the gospel with people. I pray that even this week, when they go home from this time, that they would have opportunities to share the gospel with folks. And we pray people would get saved. They would turn their lives, they repent, they turn their lives over to you. Really, Lord, we ask that. We ask you to draw people. We can't make people get saved. You have to draw people. So we pray for that to happen. And we pray, I just pray for courage for these saints here, that they would have strong courage and faith that you are with them. You promise to be with them. And praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, thanks everyone for coming.